Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson, and it is a beautiful day here in Phoenix. We are still in Phoenix, Arizona, at the Arizona Biltmore here where the owners' meetings, they wrapped up basically yesterday, but there's still some things happening here. You know, still some guys hanging about and
running around.
And,
A lot quieter, obviously.
Yeah. Pretty much all the NFL movers and shakers skedaddled.
If they didn't go last night, they
left early this morning.
Right. And we'll skedaddle tomorrow, but we got three more hours here for you to chat about what's going on in the league and the Steelers.
Put a bow on these things.
Right. It's been a good week.
Yeah, absolutely. Had a lot of interesting guests this week. We've handled a lot of business here. The NFL handled a lot of business as well, going through some rule changes. One thing we didn't mention yesterday when we were going through the rule changes is that the Guardian helmets that everybody was screaming and yelling about last year, more so the fans.
Yeah, right.
Oh, they look weird. Well, you're going to see more of them this year.
Okay. I didn't catch that. I mean, they must have been a successful experiment all in all, huh?
The Steelers were already at the forefront on that. Mike Tomlin did them in mini camp. And things, you know.
Not everybody did in the league.
Yeah, everybody did for minicamp, but it was mandatory for those first couple weeks of training camp. Mm-hmm. And then Tomlin continued to have them wear them not just through the rest of training camp, but then into the regular season as well. A lot of guys wore them.
Who cares what they look like?
It's practice.
Right, it's practice.
We're talking about practice.
Right. I mean, if it, you know, it alleviates one injury or extends one career, it's worth it.
Absolutely.
Right. Why not? I assume that's the way Tomlin looked at it.
Yeah, I mean, he just figures that, you know, safety's safety, and if you can be safer, you know, into your practices, why not?
Why not? Right. I mean, just a little bit less impact or whatever.
Yeah.
So, interesting. So the league must have thought it was a good idea.
Yeah. Looking here at some of the other breakdowns on these, they expanded the rule against the use of the helmet as a weapon.
Okay.
That was what the verbiage when we talked about that one. A 15-yard penalty will continue to be called upon or called if a player lowers his head and makes forcible contact with his helmet against an opponent. But now a player also will be penalized if he uses any part of his helmet or face mask to butt or make forcible contact to an opponent's head or neck area. That's going to be
okay.
You're not going to be able to call that in the trenches.
I was going to say, example, I was at Pitt and we were trying to learn similar techniques to what Coach Mitchell was teaching his defensive linemen during the Aaron Smith, Casey Hampton era.
The idea is, you know, keep your head up.
And they had a real, I remember sitting in there just kind of listening and learning whatever I could. And a big thing that they would teach those guys was head and hands. They created a triangle with 3 points of contact for the offensive lineman, their big palms and their forehead. You know, that they would make a triangle and smack that guy, control him, press him away from his body, and take either gap. That can't be illegal.
Yeah, this is, they're saying, it says here in the story on NFL.com, incidental contact with a mask or helmet over the course of a conventional block or tackle is allowed. This is something that's going to be called on players in space.
Okay. So good. That makes some sense.
Yeah.
And I hope it doesn't interfere with, I mean, many people are taught, you know, you put your helmet on the football, you know, as a tackler. I mean, try to get it across their body and, you know, drive your helmet into the football to try to jar it loose.
I think what they're trying to get here is defenders to not go in high and get, you know, contact with the head. You know, keep your helmet, you know, below the neck.
Makes sense.
You know, and, yeah, and yeah. you know, so.
everyone rips on the refs and gives them a hard time, and they have a very, very tough job.
Without a doubt.
But I hope they don't take this a little too far. You know
well,
what I mean?
Well, you know, what happens a lot of times with these kind of penalties, with these kind of things, infractions, they'll call them
in the preseason,
tightly, in the, tightly in the preseason, and then kind of
– point of emphasis.
Yeah, and then and then ease back on them once the season starts, because you don't want to – nobody wants to see a game with 20 penalty flags.
Right, right.
Nobody. And the NFL, the fans, the coaches – across the board.
And preseason football can be annoying. I mean, especially once the luster of seeing these guys run around for the first week or two. But I do think that's a good way of doing it is, hey, get used to playing two or three games with these new rules or points of emphasis, and maybe we will scale it back a little as the season went on. But, hey, we warned you. You know, we coached you up of what we're going to do.
As I mentioned, the Guardian caps were worn during training camps last season. Now they'll be mandated at every preseason practice as well as every regular season and postseason practice that have contact.
Okay.
So if you got
a walkthrough,
obviously. If you got pads on,
you're wearing them. So that's like a pad. I mean, like, if you have shoulder pads on, you got your helmet pad on. You know, right.
Absolutely.
Good. I mean, they're not attractive, but I could care less.
And again, this doesn't affect John Q. Fan at all.
No, how many practices? I mean, if you're sitting on the hill at training camp, you might be like, they got funny things on their helmet, but well, you know.
They said here that
kind of looks like a Last of Us monster.
Yeah. The league's data showed that if one player is wearing the Guardian cap at the time of the helmet hit, the cap will absorb 11 to 12% of the force.
Wow, more than I would have thought, right?
Yeah, if both players are wearing the cap and have a helmet-to-helmet hit, the force of the impact is reduced by about around 20%.
Okay. That's a lot.
That's a significant amount, right.
I mean, it's not on my head. Does it bother some players? Is it a weight that they're not used to? I don't know. But, I mean, it's practice. You'll be fine.
The hip drop tackle that they were talking about.
Okay, I didn't quite understand
that's
that.
That's the one where you're tackling a guy and you end up sliding down to his hip and dragging him to the ground.
Okay.
So it's almost like the horse collar tackle.
Where kind of, because a lot of times their knees buckle and they kind of jar back.
You're falling on the back of his
back of his extremities. You know, right.
This, according to Judy Batiste, who does great work for NFL.com.
Yeah, she sat down with us a couple times.
She said that it's going to be a topic of more study leading into the owners' May meeting. The league wants coaches to agree on a definition of what constitutes a hip drop tackle.
I was in here thinking, how do you call it, though?
Yeah,
I mean, those poor tacklers have a tough enough time.
Well, it got kind of when Patrick Mahomes play.
Yes,
and you even heard people say, "Well, that was a dirty tackle."
I don't know. It was intentionally.
You're not intentionally doing that. You're trying to get the guy on the ground. You hit him from behind. You slide down and You know,
I mean, to think that your first grasp is just going to always grab cloth and not slip off from time.
But
to
it was
time.
Also the same tackle. If you remember that when Vontaze Burfict tackled Le'Veon Bell. And that's that same tackle.
I mean, it's certainly dangerous.
It's
anything
a dangerous
from behind
tackle.
Like that, or the ankle could get rolled up.
It gets trapped underneath.
Gets trapped and snap back the other way, or it is kind of a horse collar motion to the tackled guy.
Yeah. So it's one that
tough one to enforce.
It's a tough one to enforce because you're paid to get the opponent on the ground.
Right. I mean, there's so many unnatural things already, mostly around quarterbacks. I can't put all my weight on them, so. I'm chasing down someone really fast. I finally get to him, wrap him from behind, start to slip off. Am I really just going to let him go?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's going to be a tough one.
Well, and
tackling's hard in this league, man.
The first time somebody does that and the guy continues to run.
That's what I mean,
Fans are going to go nuts. Look at what he's doing there. He's terrible. He stinks.
Right.
You know, it's...
Is it better to let him run or get the 15?
Yeah.
And maybe hurt him.
It's just like you see a lot of tacklers now throw their bodies in the guy and try to either shoulder him to the ground or just kind of knock him to the ground. Because a lot of times what's your target area here?
Yeah. And the other thing about it, too, is certainly compared to the good old days, they don't practice tackling in practice nearly as much. Practice time's much more limited. Rarely anyone tackles their own in training camp. I mean, so tackling's been a lost art really over the last 10, 20 years, and now you're making the rules harder on them.
Yeah.
But deep down, I think after last year, the NFL wants more offense.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And that's going to be a trend here.
You want more offense. You want to make the game safer.
For sure.
You know, and that's all part of it as well.
And so what? Safeties and linebackers, your life's harder.
You know? Yeah.
As if it wasn't difficult enough. But the scoring was down. Fantasy points were down. You know, I think people, the viewer, the big picture will be, and I obviously was not in the meetings yesterday with the owners, but I'm sure it came up many ways where we can't have this scoring trend continue to go down.
Right, right, right. The other thing that the league did yesterday was expanded the Thursday night game.
What do you mean by that?
Now all teams can play two.
Oh, okay.
During the season. What they didn't do, however, was make those games flexible.
Hmm. Okay.
And Art Rooney talked about that yesterday. Art Rooney II was asked about that when we talked to him, and he voted against flexing those things because they wanted to do it on a 15-day window.
Okay.
And he said that's just not enough time to.
If a team gets two of those ultra short weeks, that's a real hindrance.
Well, here's what Rooney said about it. He said, I think we can do a better job of scheduling those things so that you around your bye,
mm-hmm.
So that you may have one short week, but then maybe you play back-to-back Thursday night games and then you get your bye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or something like that.
Right. I think they have not done a tremendous job of that. What I've always proposed, and it's a lot easier for me to sit here, at this table as opposed to laying it all out, is give them two bye weeks, and no one ever has a four-day window.
See, they're not interested in doing double
buys. I know
that
they don't want to do.
It extends the season even more so than it does.
They have 17 games.
Yeah, I think if you do it so that, you play that, everybody's already used to playing one short.
Mm-hmm.
So if you play that first short week and then. Maybe you have your bye after that, or maybe you have your.
It'd be nice if you have your bye before.
Right. If you're coming out of your bye and then play
bye,
and then play back to back Thursday games or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And of course, one or two teams will not have the benefit, and we'll look at the schedule and like, man. And road versus home is a big thing, too. I
mean, without a doubt.
If you have two road Thursday short weeks, I'm taking the under on your win total, whatever it is.
Or if you're the team that has. It's going to be almost impossible for them to set it up. I mean, they could, but it probably, almost impossible to set it up where both teams are playing
equal rest
Thursday game with equal rest.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you got one team that played last Thursday night, the other team played Sunday, and then they're playing that on that Thursday.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
It's a huge. Yeah, yeah. It's a big difference.
So I think the league has done a tremendous job of giving teams as much rest as humanly possible when they go overseas or play in Mexico or anything like that. But I almost think you should look at Thursday as similar light, not as strong. But I really have
a hard
time.
One thing you could do with that. So you have one team playing. They play their game on a Thursday. They're playing then again the next Thursday.
That's great.
The team that they're playing that Thursday night game is coming off their bye.
Yes. I mean, that's the perfect world.
That's can do some of that.
You can do some of that. And then maybe that team plays the next Thursday.
Or, you give that team their bye coming out of that Thursday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to play two games in a short period, but then you're going to get a bye.
Extended rest, right, right. Yeah. And it's hard to make that happen for 18 weeks of the year.
That's the problem, I mean, that's why they've got people who do nothing but schedule.
Can you imagine that jigsaw puzzle? Yeah.
Oh, right. I do. So, I run the baseball, the Pony League in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
We've incorporated now to the point where I have basically most of Washington County plays in my Pony League.
Okay, right, right.
For the first 5 years that I did that, and we're talking, this is 15, 16 teams, five different baseball fields.
Rainouts.
I did the scheduling, rainouts, stuff. Yeah. I did the schedule. Boom. And everybody's like,
no one's ever had it.
Nobody was ever happy. Why are we playing on this day? Why I can't play on that day? I said, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a meeting.
Okay.
You guys are going to schedule your own games. Here are the dates that are open at these fields.
Here's the fields.
Yeah.
Fill in the blanks. You know when
your team can and can't play.
Okay.
You know how much rest your team is going to need in between to do this. You schedule your games. That will cut down on our rain. We'll still have rainouts.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to hear anybody calling me and saying, well, I don't have enough players to play tonight.
I got 10 guys on vacation this
week
or something.
I don't want to hear it because you should know ahead of time before we walk into that meeting, that on that night we have a chorus, you know, there's a chorus concert at Cannon McMillan. We can't be there.
And the 15th is out for us or whatever, instead of me writing up the schedule and then you asking, telling all the changes.
Or you got to, you know, you got five guys who are off playing travel baseball on the weekend, so you can't play on that Monday game. That's on you.
And before you did that, of course, no one was like, hey, nice job on the schedule.
Never. Never. I mean, it literally would take me the better part. I'd sit there for 4 or 5 hours a night for an entire week.
Every week.
Putting together – no, just for preseason. So an entire week. I spent about 20 hours probably.
Wow.
Building that schedule.
And never was it good enough, of course.
Right. There were always something that ended up having to be changed.
And obviously the NFL is a different
– this is different, yeah.
But
yeah.
Still, I mean, it's still an unbelievable puzzle to put together.
You know, when's Taylor Swift playing
it? Yeah, right. And there were Pirates – bad example. Baseball teams in the playoffs.
But if your baseball team is at home that weekend.
Right.
And your stadiums are next door. If you're Kansas City, where the stadiums – they share the same parking – area, you can't have a Royals game and a Chiefs game on the same day.
I mean, it could be a 1 o'clock and a 9 o'clock or whatever. I mean,
even
maybe
that's
it's
tough.
Still bonkers, right?
Yeah.
Because I mean, who's going to move their car? All that stuff. And then, of course, you don't want to give a team 3 road games in a row, or you know, things like that, where you just beat them up. But it's, I mean, scheduling's brutal, and you get what you get, and you don't get upset.
Yeah, I mean, I've had guys approach me. You know, I have a program that does that. Well, I've used those before. The programs. Mm-hmm. When I just had to schedule games for my just one field.
Yeah, okay.
I go, you know, I got six teams, one field, here's the dates, put them in, boom.
Team A, team B, it doesn't matter what happens.
When you get five different fields involved, it gets a little dicey.
Yeah, I bet. Let alone 32 of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I got to know exactly what days. Okay, this field's not available. You almost have to have like a, here are the blackout dates on that field, there are the blackout dates on that field. Mm-hmm.
And, hey, I mean, we're in Arizona. So if I'm the Cardinals and the schedule comes out and I have to go to Miami and then the next week I have to go to New England, I'd be like, guys.
Or Seattle.
Right. I mean, like extended crazy road trips that I can't just, like, spend both days there or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Giants-Jets back.
Yeah, so we'll see with that Thursday.
That's why we do that schedule release show, though.
Yeah, Art Rooney the second was adamantly against that because he didn't like the 15-day window. Like, 2 weeks out, they're going to say, instead of playing Sunday next
week. Now you're Thursday.
You're playing Thursday. That's a big deal.
Well, and you got to get everyone there and the hotels. And, I mean, there's logistics to it, flights. And
let alone,
you know,
the fans.
Fans. Or that's, yeah.
You know, you're a family.
Steeler fans travel better than anybody.
Yeah,
right.
You're coming and you make plans. You didn't schedule your flight 2 weeks out.
Right. It's going to be more expensive for everybody, of course.
Right. So, you know, you get your kid, you're going to take your kids to a game. And all of a sudden, that Sunday game gets moved to Thursday.
Yeah, and you break your
and
kid's
you can't
heart.
Go. Yeah.
And the kid's like, "I was doing first game of my life, Dad. My birthday present, my Christmas present. Sorry,
I can't do
luck.
It. You know,
yeah,
you got to take you out of school for 4 days.
And what are you really gaining by it? You know, right? Yeah, I hear you.
So
that's interesting.
The addition of the Thursday, I think.
I'm in favor of Thursday football, period, but it's not going away.
It's not
going
to go away.
Right. Everyone in the world watches it, including me.
And I think it. When you start adding, you can watch them or not watch them. It's up to you. Now the interesting thing here. So if everybody's going to get scheduled for two, does that mean they're doing two Thursday night games?
That's what I say. Does everybody get scheduled for two, or you can get scheduled for two?
Well, that's what I haven't figured out.
Because if everyone gets scheduled for two, that's too many games, right? I mean, there's only seven.
Well, they do three. They do three on Thanksgiving.
Oh, right. Maybe opening day would be a doubleheader.
They want to add a Black Friday game, which would be kind of considered.
There isn't one week 17, though, or week 18. Correct?
Right.
I think they all play the same.
Yeah.
And maybe not week 17, from what I remember. Because remember 17. Those last two weekends, there's a lot of Saturdays and Sundays.
I think 17 might have fallen that way because of the.
Christmas.
And they added Saturday games.
Yeah. I'd say the last 2 weeks, I think, had Saturdays and Sundays, but I think it was because of Christmas this year.
Yeah.
Because Christmas Eve was Saturday.
I don't know. It's all very interesting, but I think you can kind of expect.
I mean, as a viewer, I wouldn't hate more Thursday action.
Yeah.
I mean, I like standalone games.
The problem with it becomes, you know, if everybody's not doing it,
right,
then you're giving probably your lesser teams an advantage because you're not going to ask them. You're going to want to put your premium, your good teams in those games.
They haven't up to this date, though. I mean, Saturday or
Sunday.
Well,
at this point,
Monday
before this, everybody had to have one.
Okay. So everyone had one previous seasons. This year, people can have two.
Yeah.
You don't have to have two.
Well, if you remember, though, like Dallas has always had two.
But they always luck out and do
because they don't consider
Thanksgiving.
They don't consider that Thanksgiving game their Thursday night game.
But they often get it the Thursday back-to-back game back to back and have a full week's rest.
Yeah.
So they only get shorted once.
Yeah. Because they volunteered to play Thursday.
Yeah, yeah. But it's, for some reason, it doesn't seem to work that way for the Lions.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. All right.
So, yeah, it's interesting. We'll see. We'll hear more and more about this.
Yeah. Not massive rule changes, though.
No. Did you see, by the way, the sale prices on the Washington Commanders as well?
I knew it was super high.
So the asking price, I believe, was like $7 billion.
Mm-hmm.
We've got two offers for six.
And I think the Broncos went for five-ish, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's still about, I think, I don't think he paid quite $1 billion. Maybe just over $1 billion when he bought it.
Pretty good investment.
Pretty good investment.
And he couldn't have been worse.
Right.
Handling his investment.
The, yeah,
right.
In 20 years, they've made the playoffs like three times.
Right, and lost a lot of fans. And,
yeah.
You know, right, and turned people off. Right, and it's still appreciated by six times or whatever.
Yeah.
Not bad. Business is good in the league. Folks, I say this all the time. I mean, if you want to know if the league's doing well, the first thing you do is you look at the price of the franchises. I mean, doesn't matter what the players are making nearly as much. The money of the league is what the franchises worth.
Yeah,
and they're
yeah.
not all the same.
It's funny. I was watching yesterday when we got back.
It'd be great if Washington was a good organization again, though.
There was a show on. I was on the NFL Network, and they were talking about it, looking back at the 1984 season.
Okay.
And all the records that were broken that year.
Mm-hmm. The Marino's rookie year.
Marino's throws all those touchdown passes. Dickerson goes over 2,000 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
Gastineau had all the same.
Oh, okay. He was over 20, I think, right?
But there was talk then that the NFL was in decline.
Okay.
People weren't
watching. Well, they recently had a strike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Scat
so,
League,
yeah.
You know.
And so, you know, they were Sports Illustrated, did it was a cover piece.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the end of the NFL?
I guess USFL was a competitor
at that
point.
It was a competitor at that point. Yeah. The league couldn't be stronger than it is now.
No. I mean, TV, gambling.
That's 30 years ago.
That was 30 years
ago. The NFL is not. And, you know, there were people who.
I remember the first $1 million contract was right around then, too.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, man, I don't know what we're going to do about that.
Yeah, right. But there were people who know the game, who covered the game a lot, who were talking about it. And Howard Cosell, and they're saying, I think the league is in decline, and I don't think it's ever going to be like it was.
Wow. Wow. They're so good at what they do.
Yeah.
You know, and they, I mean, this is a perfect example of just keeping the year so relevant. I mean, the draft's right around the corner. And, you know, free agency's going to start dying down.
We're going to get back from here, and, you know, three weeks later, we're going to be drafting.
Yeah, heavy, you know, right? And there's still two former MVPs that could be moving, and, you know, there's other trade candidates, and there's been more signings. I bet there's a trade or two, you know, I mean, so it's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Matt, we're going to take a break.
All right.
He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We are live at the Arizona Biltmore in Phoenix for the NFL meetings that basically wrapped up yesterday, but we are still here bringing it to you, bringing you all the news of everything that happened here this week. But we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this. Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson, and this is The Drive. We are live at the Arizona Biltmore here in Phoenix. The NFL annual meeting taking place here this week, and pretty much kind of wrapping up yesterday, but still some guys here milling about.
Yeah, yeah, there are.
Most of the movers and the shakers in the NFL, those who would make any decisions are not kind of gone here.
But the accommodations are still here. I just got a fresh cup of coffee. I mean, there's pastries and stuff over there. That's
all for us.
Yeah, I was just talking to a reporter in there, and I'm like, I don't think we're going to run out of coffee today. He's like, yeah, but I keep looking at those pastries, and there's only three or four of us to eat 100 of them. We need to do my part.
Yeah, right. So, Matt, we had a triple take drop today.
Yeah, we did. Huh?
On the on
my position.
On Steelers.com. It is your position, the tight end position. And, you know, if you take a look at that that triple take.
Yeah, that group is unbelievable to me.
Just looking at how we had these guys ranked. The top, we break down the top five, but then we added, you know, the second time through here.
As you're looking, I just want to throw one thing out there that our buddy Dane Brugler at The Athletic put out his top 100 today.
And we'll go through some of that later.
Yeah. And I was just looking how many tight ends are in his top 100, and there's eight of them, you know, and two of them are 89 and 97. So there's six in the top 63.
How many cornerbacks?
I will look. Give me a second. Usually this is your job to do the laptop work. There's going to be a lot. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, including number 100, Corey Trice.
Yeah, so 15 in the top 100. That's, you know, we talked about that yesterday when we had Lance's Zierlein's rankings of the positions.
Yeah.
You kind of disagree with the tight end position being as low as it was. But cornerbacks.
There's a lot of good ones.
15, I mean, there is in the top 100.
Right. No doubt. You know, I just think that most
mathematician here, but that would be 15% of the top 100.
Right. But to my counterpoint, I had, what, eight of the top 10 are tight ends, which
half
is probably, probably double the norm, though.
It's double the norm, but not – like, not in every draft, there's not 15
– No, both
corners.
Are strange.
Both are on the upper edges of the extreme.
100%.
Yeah.
And a lot of starters, you know, or potential starters.
So just looking here, so my initial top five, I had Michael Mayer, Luke Musgrave, Darnell Washington, Dalton Kincaid, Tucker Kraft.
Right.
I changed that up here a little bit. I still have Mayer. I bumped Washington to number two.
Okay.
Musgrave, Kincaid, Sam Laporta.
Understandable.
I bumped up based off his workout. You have on that
My first go
round. I
don't
think you changed the five, but you changed the order a little bit.
Yeah, and I know my take has not changed.
You didn't change the order at all.
I didn't on those? Okay.
No.
Because I was torn, kind of like you said, your first one had Kraft at five, your second one had Laporta.
Yeah.
Both times, they were like tied for five for me.
You know, really close.
Really close.
Splitting hairs.
And I really think those top four were maybe my hardest position to rank.
Yeah.
Because I think all four of them
you could throw those guys up in any order.
Put them in a bag, show, you know, a bunch of dice, roll them out. And it's
I will
more
say this.
What you're
after. It kind of depends on what you're looking at.
Kincaid and Washington couldn't be any different. It just depends what you're looking for.
Mayer and Washington are more your combo tight ends.
Yeah. They're more traditional Bruner. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
Old school. Like,
whereas Musgrave and Kincaid are the move tight ends. That
especially Kincaid.
Yeah.
You know, Kincaid's 240. Like, I used the example on something I wrote recently that Kincaid is closer to Smith Njigba than he is to Zach Gentry.
Yeah.
You know, and if Zach Gentry weren't a Steeler, I would more lean towards Washington and Mayer, you know, if you had to pick one of those four. It just depends what you have and what you're looking for.
See, when I do rankings like this, and it's always been this way,
mm-hmm.
I look at them through a Steelers lens.
I don't. I mean, I think that's where we differ.
I try to make it as generic as possible. And
yeah.
I've always done that. I do that for all the years that I rank players, regardless of what outlet I was working for, I always rank guys based on how they would fit with the Steelers and if the Steelers would like them, because I'm writing for Steelers fans.
Sure.
That's just the way I approach it. So, I still like Tucker Kraft.
Right.
I just think that, you know, so, and that to me is why I had Mayer in Washington 1 and 2. Those would be the kind of tight ends that they're looking for.
They have historically.
They're not looking for a guy who's just going to go out there and catch passes.
I don't think so. But, I mean, I think that everyone changes quickly in this league. And not that signing Gentry is a earth-shattering move, but I would have had no interest in Kincaid a week ago. Now with Gentry in the mix, he would be my slot.
He'd be my big slot. Yeah,
Miller or Austin off the field.
Here's where the Steelers have made a move in that direction, and that's Connor Hayward.
Right.
Connor Hayward is not a traditional Steelers tight end.
He's not a traditional Steeler.
He's not traditional NFL tight end.
Right. See, I think he's Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah.
You know, or Chris Cooley, or, you know, those old school H-back types.
But he still does that kind of stuff. He's just not somebody that they typically have going to their tight end room.
And I don't think it's because his last name's Hayward.
I think that
they are looking for multiple weapons. You know, like, you could put Freiermuth, Gentry, and Hayward on the field together and not be goal line.
Right.
You know what I mean? Freiermuth and Hayward are, they could be in the slot.
I mean,
they often are.
Yeah.
Or motion guys. You know, Gentry doesn't do that. But
so, you know, but still, so when I'm looking at the Steelers tight end position or looking at this tight end position through a Steelers lens, I don't want another pass catcher because that's what Hayward does. See, you're not going to line up and ask him to block defensive ends.
No, you're not. And my thoughts on it are, though, they need one more receiver. And I'm lumping wide outs and tight ends together.
I hear you in that regard. Yeah.
And if I can get Kincaid, I don't need to slot wide out anymore. You know what I mean? Because in some packages, Gentry won't be on the field. Freiermuth will be in line or not. Kincaid will be the – it's a basketball team. You know, he'll be the shooting guard.
But I also don't want to become the Ravens.
No. Roster building question for you, though. I think – and I got so many of these questions because everyone knows Williamson wants a tight end. You know, I've been made it very clear. Signing Gentry to me does not mean you don't – it's prohibitive to drafting. They only keep three.
Here's the thing. So, you know, if Derek Watt is not back and he is still not under contract, and I'm not saying he won't be back. He's still a very valuable special teams guy.
Right.
You know, he played the most special team snaps on the team last year.
Yeah, and well.
And does it at a very high level. But if he's not back, Hayward now goes to your running back room.
Right.
Because he's your fullback.
And Roberts has done that in a pinch.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some people told me he didn't like it. Never heard that before. I mean, he did it willingly and ran into people and moved them at the line of scrimmage as a downhill fullback.
Asked him about that when we had
him. Oh, did you?
You know, he said he would do whatever, you know, whatever the team needs, but he did that out of necessity that year that he did it with the Patriots because other tight ends and fullbacks were hurt.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
I know it's not a specialty.
Yeah.
You know, but he's a very good special teamer as well. But, I mean, a fullback on offense really only plays 4 or 5 snaps and doesn't even have to do that.
Now, they did incorporate.
Especially if you use an extra offensive lineman, which I think they'll do more if they draft a tackle.
They did more last year to incorporate Watt into the offense.
Yes, that's definitely true. But I think post-Claypool trade was that fifth skill guy. Gentry got the biggest bump.
I'm not even saying in terms of playing time, but I'm saying usage.
Yes.
In terms of he actually touched the football. He became a short yardage guy.
Yeah.
He became, you know, they hit that little that quick fullback slam play a bunch of times.
Yeah. But I think Hayward could do that just as well.
Well, that's right. I'm wondering if they started down that road because, hey, we're going to do it with Hayward next year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a
better athlete.
He's a better athlete than Watt.
Probably a better ball carrier.
And we can do some of these things with. You know, people forget. You know, he played wide receiver, tight end, running back,
pure running back too.
Michigan State.
Right. No, I think he's a valuable piece, but you have to not necessarily have a package for him, but realize him and Gentry aren't at all the same.
Well, that's so. Like, prior to re-signing Gentry, you had a definite need there.
Right.
Because if something happens to Freiermuth.
And Freiermuth's not a people mover.
Yeah.
You know.
But if something happens to him, you don't just automatically plug Connor Hayward in for him.
And played 60 snaps a game for Hayward. Right. There definitely was a need there. But I don't think there's a need there now, but I don't think there's a blockage for, boy, you really like this guy. Take him. But
so here's
I'm not taking one at 17.
So here's the, here's the thing about the tight end position this year, Matt. Because there are so many available. Mm-hmm. So you have the top 100 there.
Yeah, there's eight of them here.
And there's eight of them.
They're top eight, right.
There probably aren't going to be 8 tight ends drafted in the top 100 picks.
No. I mean, how many teams truly will consider that? 20?
Right.
You know, they're saying tight end's a primary need for us. And the Steelers aren't one of them.
Yeah.
But how many actually would? Let alone every team that does isn't going to take a second one.
Yeah.
You know, so they will fall.
So the other part of that then becomes, so if there's 8 guys in the top 100, how many tight ends are in the top 200? How many tight ends are in the top 300?
Mm-hmm.
And then how many of those guys go undrafted? So you can get a guy at that tight end position this year as an undrafted player.
You might get, like, Kuntz in the 7th round.
You might get him undrafted.
You might get him undrafted.
And just sign him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've
that would have been a 6th-round pick or 5th-round pick
in a previous year,
right.
Because that position is so deep,
right.
Same thing at the cornerback.
We're both kind of saying the same thing. Like, I just want to get one because you can get them at a discount.
But if I'm going to get a guy who
I don't
in
be
most
the first
years,
one off the board,
yeah. If I'm going to get a guy who in most years would have been a 5th-round draft pick, remember Gentry was a 5th-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse James was a 5th-round. If I'm getting a player of that talent, Undrafted.
Undrafted or with those two-sevenths or whatever.
That's
right.
Fantastic.
That's fantastic because he's a real chance to make the
team. It's, absolutely. Right, he's your third tight end, and maybe he's a guy that complements Gentry. Maybe he's a pass catcher that complements Freiermuth that I get to work with as a blocker, but he's talented enough to make my roster.
So I know Kendrick Green didn't work out at center, but we went into that draft that time of year, whether it was 2 years ago, saying the Steelers need a center. Steelers need a center. That's the Humphrey center year. There was Myers from Ohio State. There was like five that looked like they were projected to be starters. And like Kendrick Green, these eight that I'm looking at aren't all going to work out, folks. You know, I mean, there's a human nature to this. So what you do, though, as a franchise is your pro scouting team comes in and says, I can really only see 10 teams being in the market for a center. And these three are probably going to take one. Kansas City just doesn't have a center. They're going to get one, you know. So, but as soon as that team goes and takes the center, you can check them off the board.
They're not taking two. Yeah.
And tight ends are really similar that way. Yeah. It's not like wideouts or D-backs or, you know, like.
Well, at most, unless you're Baltimore, you're carrying three. Yeah. A lot of teams only carry two, so I'm carrying one.
Yes. If we count Hayward, though, I think the Steelers could carry four.
Right.
Yeah.
Of that body type.
Because Hayward and Gentry aren't body types at all.
Well, they did with Watt last year. They did stuff with Watt where he's mm-hmm. out on the wing.
Yeah, right. You know? And again, I would rather have Hayward do that than Watt. Okay, we're speaking the same language.
So it's just interesting. You know, I don't know that you necessarily draft a tight end. I think you can wait and maybe mm-hmm. get a decent guy once the draft is over.
Like a guy that I've really warmed up to. The two actually at the end of this list is the 89th player and the 97th player on Dane's board is Schoonmaker from Michigan and Strange from Penn State. Strange is a nasty, nasty blocker and a good athlete that has been blocked by Freiermuth over the years and guys like that.
I got a guy there now who's
supposedly is a star, and I was actually talking to Jerry Dulac yesterday about it. He's like, wait till the next guy you see. You know, I mean, so Strange has been kind of blocked. So maybe, you know, just watching his tape, he's a fourth rounder. You get him at the end of the fifth or something like that. I mean, that would be fine with me. That would itch my knee. That would scratch my itch, you know. I mean, it doesn't have to be Washington at 32 or something like that.
Was Cameron Latu, is he in the top?
He's not in the top 100.
I mean, there's another guy.
There's more.
He's talented.
There's more, right.
They can do some. I mean, so, yeah, there's guys that. What are you looking for?
Right.
And, you know, the thing about what the Steelers look for at that tight end position, it is different than what a lot of other teams.
Right.
Like they want guys who can block first mm-hmm. and that, you know, then become receivers. Now Freiermuth's a little different. He's a better receiver than blocker.
But he's not a zero as a blocker.
Right,
you
right.
Know,
he's,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not a big wide out. He's a modern day tight end.
Yeah.
I mean the guys coming to the league are different. I mean there's not many Kyle Brady's and Mark Bruner's anymore, you know, that run 4.85s, you know, and they're really good blockers.
But those guys have a place in the league.
They do.
They just don't get drafted highly.
So, for example, I haven't seen anyone else do this, but these mocks we've done with Mike, twice I think I've had the Chiefs take one of the tight ends.
Yeah.
Just learn from Kelce and a guy like Musgrave or Kincaid, so if you were the Steelers, though, and I don't think to your point, it won't come to this. But if you had your choice right now, a genie comes out of the bottle and says, hey, Dale, you can add one tight end from this draft to the Steelers roster right now for free. Who would you pick?
One for free. It doesn't cost anything?
Doesn't cost a thing.
Again, I'm going to look at this.
You said you kind of did this through a Steeler lens. Would Mayer be your pick?
I have Mayer as number one. I have Washington number two.
Okay. So that's through a Steelers eyes.
Yeah.
If I said you could have one of these guys for free, doesn't cost you a pick. You would take Mayer.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't think they'd be unhappy with that at all.
No, I think he's going to be a guy who plays in the league for 10 mm-hmm. years. Mm-hmm.
No, he's been very successful at a big program. He blocks. He's nasty, you know. Yeah, I would probably take Musgrave. But I don't think I take that back. He's my number one from a generic 32 team lens.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's a great fit here.
Right.
You know what I mean? They may prefer, I might take Washington over him because I had Washington over Mayer, you know.
Yeah.
Just as a bigger, better version of Gentry. Not even bigger, but better, more athletic.
Yeah, he's really not bigger. He's not bigger.
Last little nugget about the tight end stuff is last year they were near the bottom of the league in six offensive line sets. Scott came out, I don't know, 10 snaps, something like that. Previous to that, they were always at the top of the league. I think it's just because they didn't have a great sixth lineman. But yeah, if your 47th pick or 32nd pick is a tackle, I want to see him get on the field.
He might not beat out Dan Moore. Yeah, if not from day one, he's going to be doing it at some point.
Yeah.
You may still line up in week one with Gentry as that guy.
Oh, for sure.
But as the
season
goes
on. But it's just another option.
Yeah.
You know, like if DeJuan Jones is sitting there with his helmet in his hands on the sidelines, I wouldn't mind seeing him five or six snaps a game lined up next to Dan Moore or Jukes, you know. Yeah. And Gentry could be lined up next to him, too. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Right. Absolutely.
So there's a lot of options.
Hey, you can now listen to Steelers Nation Radio anytime, anywhere through your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play Steelers Nation Radio from my heart, and Alexa will take care of the rest. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. We are live at the Arizona Biltmore here for the 2023 NFL annual meeting. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this. He makes more money, we make more money. Oh, welcome back. I'm Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson, and this is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio, and we are live at the Arizona Biltmore here in Phoenix, where the owners' meetings are wrapping up today. I mean, they're kind of wrapped up, but there's still
some... Bulk done.
Yeah, the heavy lifting is done. The hay is in the barn.
Mm-hmm. It was... glorious. It was good stuff.
It was glorious.
Yeah.
Matt, I'm looking here at the 33rd team.
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff there today.
They get some list here from Ari Miroff.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed his work a few times.
Yeah.
Nice job there.
He breaks down some other players here we've seen thus far this offseason. Hasn't been like last year with some of the big receiver names moving.
You're talking about the trades.
The trades,
right, right. And some of those were draft day, though. I mean, A.J. Brown was draft day, but Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams were before that.
Think about the guys who've been traded this year. Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
Stephon Gilmore. Brandon Cooks. Chuck Clark. Elijah Moore.
Mm-hmm. All of whom got less compensation than I would have guessed, especially compared to last year.
Yeah. So here's some other players who could be traded moving forward here. Jerry Jeudy.
All right. Let's make it Steeler-esque. Would you consider a third-round pick for Jeudy? I don't know if they'd even take it, but
well, here's the problem.
I wouldn't give him the top three picks.
Jerry Jeudy, you have to make a decision on his fifth-year option by May 1st.
I think you'd have to pick it up.
You'd have to pick it up as a receiver. That's 12 point. That's almost $13 million.
I know. And his flashes are really good, and I thought he had his best year as a pro last year. Not everyone noticed it because the offense was so injured and awful.
Yeah.
But he's injured a lot, too.
So I'm going to say no.
For a third.
I'm going to still say no.
That's what I'm saying.
Because
that's the most I'd consider.
Overall, it's going to cost you about $15 million.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. He's probably better than he's definitely better than the receiver you'd get anywhere outside of probably 17.
Yeah. But you're going to have to pick up.
I lean towards no as well.
Yeah.
I also don't know how slot capable he is. I know he's done it. I don't know that he's lived there.
Ryan Tannehill.
No for the Steelers.
Yeah, no for the Steelers, obviously.
So I was listening to Bucky and DJ's podcast this morning, and DJ said, don't be shocked if Tennessee ends up with that third pick. You know, that they are very actively looking at these quarterbacks, really don't have any faith in Malik Willis, and they showed us that last year.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's a total rebuild. I don't know if Derrick Henry's on that list, but he's been rumored to get traded too. So... I could see them just going youth movement top to bottom.
Yeah.
And then Ryan has to go.
Cedric Wilson. That was a bad signing.
Yeah, they overspent on him. I don't think he moves the needle.
He had 12 catches for 136 yards last year.
Is he their true three? Or was he injured some?
They added Braxton Berrios.
Yeah, right. I mean, the top two demand so many targets.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So I think he's a no for the Steelers.
I think he's a no for anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
at that contract. You just wait for him to get cut.
Right. I mean, he's probably a seventh-round pick type of compensation.
Yeah. So Darius Smith.
No, but he's good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I would rather sign Bud at a fraction of the cost and not use the draft pick and take a chance on a guy that's had success.
Yeah. Jonah Williams.
Not for the Steelers.
No.
But I could see some teams interested.
I think he's a guard.
I think at the breakfast the other day, their head coach said he's going to compete at right tackle. That's their plan
compete
for him.
Compete at right tackle.
Yeah, you'd assume he wins, but right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they're looking at him as, the right tackle.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he's a seventh-round pick, I mean, he's making first-round money, which isn't
again, you're going to have to you'd have to pick up the option.
I mean, I didn't like him coming out of school. I didn't understand why he was the first back taken. I like him a lot less now.
I liked him as a back. I didn't like him in the first round.
Yeah. With Jonathan Taylor and J.K. Dobbins on the board. My thoughts on him are he's not a good enough receiver he doesn't have a specialty.
Yeah.
Because he's bad in protection. I mean, he's so little he gets run over, and he's got short arms. He's a good ball carrier, but he's not a first and 10 foundation back, so it's hard to use him.
How about this one? Kevin Byard.
Yeah, that's the one.
Kevin Byard. What,
do they have the numbers there?
He's currently set to make $13.6 million in 2023 and is signed for $13.6 million next year.
Well, yes.
Now, you could if you made a trade for him.
And we just talked about the Titans. They are sellers. You could redo that.
Yeah. And obviously, if you redid that, you would make it less in the short term.
Yeah, and you could restructure a deal or two to make that work. I still think he's a tremendous player that is several slots below Minka, but that means he's the fifth best safety on the planet right now. You know what I mean? I mean, he's scheme versatile. He's not a one-for-one Edmonds replacement. He's closer to Minka than he is Edmonds in terms of style of safety, but I don't really care. You know, he's just really good and really versatile. I just care about the numbers.
He counts $19.6 million against Tennessee's cap.
Mm-hmm. They asked him to restructure. He said no.
They
asked him to take
him. His dead money is $13.6
Okay.
For them. Basically, what he's going to make this year. Mm-hmm. They get some voidable years on the end of that. So they're going to take
28?
What's that?
How old is he? 28, maybe?
He is 30.
He's 30, okay.
Yeah.
I think he came in the league not as an underclassman. What round pick does he cost you, though?
At that cost, at that price, you're probably looking at a fourth or a fifth.
See, I was going to compare it to Jalen Ramsey. They gave up a third and Hunter Long for Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
He's going to be cheaper than that.
He's a safety.
And he's expensive, and he's older, and he's also really good, but Ramsey's worth more than Byard.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're competing on the open market, fourth, fifth?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, if you can absorb the cost, which the Steelers could.
Yeah.
He would greatly improve your defense. Yeah, that would be exciting to me. Yeah. More and more, with these guys signing, I think the Steelers are going to use a third or fourth round pick on a safety, as it stands today, as opposed to sign somebody. Like, I'm just leaning towards that middle group.
I'd still want to grab Brian Branch or... You know,
I mean, someone like that.
I'd take either of the two Illinois safeties in those, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I wouldn't, maybe in the third round.
Yeah.
It would be the earliest non-branch safety I would go.
Trey Lance.
I think he's going to move.
Yeah.
To me, Baltimore makes a lot of sense, as does Tennessee, because their GM just left there.
Right.
Go with Lance and Willis.
We liked him before. We'll like him again.
Yeah. Lance, Willis, and they could hand it to Henry and just try to establish something.
Yeah.
I think he moves.
Then some other guys who could still be on the move. You got Allen Robinson.
He's going to be like a first seventh-round pick type.
Yeah,
just
if that.
Get him off the cap. But at least there's a shortage of receivers right now in the league.
Corey Davis and Denzel Mims.
A lot of talk that Corey Davis could end up in Green Bay as the Rodgers trade.
Yeah.
Which they could use him. He's still a good player. It's not a great contract. But he won't be a Jet.
Emmanuel Ogba.
Okay. Dolphins.
Dolphins, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Hunter Renfrow.
Right. He's a little expensive. Didn't quite fit
basically
in
basically making just a little bit less than Deontay Johnson.
Yeah. And Myers is pretty redundant with him. I mean, I thought that signing was not a ring endorsement for Renfrow. They used Mack Hollins a lot instead of Renfro. Like, I don't think the new coach likes him.
Yeah.
You thought that was a perfect marriage, you know, slot guy.
I don't know how he could not like money, Renfro.
I mean, he's a good dude. I mean, he's a good player.
Yeah.
But they do have a lot invested in him.
Absolutely.
And then there's, like, Eckler is not on that list.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple of the backs. But Byard, I would make a call.
See what it's going to cost.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
Absolutely. I mean,
there is a safety need right now.
Yep. Hey, you can subscribe now to The Drive. Every episode we do is available for you to download. Subscribe today through the Steelers mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you find your podcast. I'm Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. We are live from the NFL meetings here at the Arizona Biltmore in Phoenix. We'll be back with Hour 2 right after this.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.